Well, let's get into the Word, and I feel like the Lord does have a good Word for us. And of course, this is going to be very appropriate to this week, being Thanksgiving coming up. I hope you have great plans. I hope each of you has great plans for Thanksgiving, even if it's just you at home with a turkey leg, or if you don't like turkey, something else. But we do hope that it's going to be a wonderful time, and I really hope this week, take time, okay? Take time to think about all the blessings you have. I think that's so important. As I get into this message today, I think it's going to just show us once again how important it is to give thanks to the Lord. It's so important. So let's open our hearts to receive. Lord God, just bring forth your word as you desire us to hear and receive and bring to life the seed of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Acts 20:35, I'm just going to just read the part of it that says this. It says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. Do you believe it?
Yes.
It's more blessed to give than to receive. Well, if you've experienced that, then you know it's true. Now, sometimes there's probably points in our lives where we're not sure if that's really true because we're ready to receive. We're ready to, you know, the mailbox is open, you know, the door is open, like just come in and we're ready to receive. But we learn also in life that, wait a minute, there's such a blessing in giving. And God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. So we know that it's important in our lives to learn how to give. In fact, it's Christ-like. Right? That's the Christ-like maturity growing in us is when we learn how to give. And even when we love to give over and above receiving. Both are wonderful. And we know something about giving to others, right? We know. And we know we can give to God because, you know, we just have that opportunity, right? The offering plate goes around, the basket goes around, and we can give. We can give financially to the Lord. Believers are called to give to God. But there's something so much more about giving than a financial gift. That's important. We bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord. We dedicate them to Him, right? But there's other things we're to give our lives. I mean, we're to give our whole lives to the Lord, our whole selves. We consecrate ourselves to God. But the Bible says there are some other specific things that we're to give. The Bible says very clearly, that we should give our praise. We did this morning. We should give our praise, our worship to the Lord. This is so important. This is so important. It always grieves me when believers skip worship just to get to the Word. It grieves me because I'm like, you're missing the best part of the whole service is you loving Jesus, giving your heart to the Lord, and Him meeting you in that moment. And the Word is better as we do that. And so I say we worship. We're called to worship. There's such a special blessing in giving praise and giving worship. But the Bible also says give thanksgiving. Thanksgiving literally means giving thanks, right? We're giving it. We're releasing it. We're letting it go to others, whether you're thanking somebody for what somebody has done or blessed you with, or thanking God. We're to give thanks to God. And it's not just feeling thankful, right? It's giving thanks. Psalm 104, we read this morning. It says, as we approach God, it says, enter His gates with thanksgiving. How do we approach God? How do we come into His presence? The Bible's clear. It gives us instructions. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. So this is this idea, right, of temple worship, of coming into the gates and coming into the courts to praise the Lord. So this is part of who we're to be as a people of God. We're to be people of thanksgiving. And this is a key. This is a key for our time with God. It's so important. And I want to say this morning, there are so many blessings in giving thanks. There's so many blessings in our lives. To give thanks that come from our heart, that comes from a heart that's shaped by gratitude, gratitude for what God has done in our lives, for what God is doing, remembering. See, we have to remember. In this whole point of giving thanks, we have to remember, what has God done in my life? What has He done? Where has He been with me? How has He walked me through things? How has He provided for me? How has He healed me? How has He touched my life? How has He brought people to me to bless me? What has God done in your life that you can give thanks for? See, as we grow in this mindset of gratitude, and it's something we can grow in, each of us, it's important that we grow in it. As we grow, blessings flow. Blessings flow from a mindset of gratitude. It affects our disposition. It affects our outlook on life. It affects how we see other people. It allows us even to have a closer walk with God. Absolutely. And it even benefits us, not only spiritually, but it benefits us physically. Physically. You know, Thanksgiving is funny. Thanksgiving is like taking your vitamins. It's like boosting your immune system. It's like taking your vitamin C or your vitamin D or your zinc, right? Something that would boost your immune system and make you stronger against sickness. Thanksgiving is like that for the soul, for your inner being. And practicing Thanksgiving is just simply healthy to your mind, body, and soul. Even the medical world acknowledges this, okay? The power of gratitude. They've seen it in studies. And there's an article I read, December 6, 2022, by the Mayo Clinic, okay? And this article says this. I just pulled a caption, a quote out of this article. It says this. It says, expressing gratitude is associated with a host of mental and physical benefits. See, they're not looking at the spiritual, right? They're looking at the mental, physical benefits. Studies have shown that feeling thankful can improve sleep, mood, and immunity. Gratitude can decrease depression, anxiety, difficulties with chronic pain, and risk of disease. Wow. If a pill that could do this, if it was a pill that could do this, everyone would be taking it. Your brain is designed to problem solve rather than to appreciate. You often must override this design to reap the benefits of gratitude. So that's the Mayo Clinic. That's not scripture, that's the Mayo. But it recognizes that built within us is we have a need. There is a blessing in looking to the Maker, our Creator, and saying, thank you. Now, of course, they're looking at it from a practical standpoint of giving thanks every day, thanking the person who served you food, thanking the person who blessed you in any way. Thank you for the person who said nice words to you. Just being thankful, saying, thank you. I received that. How wonderful. And let blessings flow. So it's important. It's important to us in many ways to be grateful and to have a mindset of gratitude. Gratitude is good for you, good for us. And gratitude also displays a growing relationship with God. If you're growing, you're grateful. And also, if you're grateful, you're growing. It's both and. They affect one another. Colossians 2, verse 6. It says this, it says, and now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down deep. Deep into Him. And let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. See, it's a sign of a growing believer. That you're going to be thankful for all the things that God is doing in your life. A healthy relationship with God always acknowledges Him as the source. He's the source. He's in the center of it all. And this is whether life is amazing or life is not so amazing. But certainly, when we prosper, it is humility. It's humility to recognize that our prospering comes from God. He is our provider and provision for life. And we're grateful. We're so thankful. Are you thankful today for the God who's been working in your life, providing for the very shirt on your back, the car that you got here, the house you're living in, the heat bill that you're able to pay, the breath that you're able to breathe, the relationships you're able to have, and the ability to bless others? You have the ability to be a blessing on this earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We know what the opposite of gratitude is. Griping and complaining. Have you ever heard that in your house? Have you ever heard it come out of your mouth? I wonder. I have. And it's not always so pretty when it comes out of my mouth. And it's not coming from a heart of gratitude. It's not coming from gratefulness. It's coming from, somebody owes me something. And it's not always pretty when you hear it even out of your own mouth. Well, griping and complaining works against a healthy heart, mind, and soul. It actually can hinder us, and it can hinder our walk with God. It can create a mindset of entitlement, where we feel like we should have something already by now. Or maybe somebody else owes us something, right? Somebody owes us something. Whatever that might be. And maybe it's true. And maybe the thing that somebody should be giving us is being withheld from us. And that's the other person's issue or fight that they're having with giving. But there's still so much to be grateful for, even when things are withheld from us. You know, we can gripe and complain towards God. Maybe you've done that too. And you didn't even realize it, that you went to prayer, but you just went actually for a complaint session. You know, sometimes we feel like God has shorted us and he's left us hanging. There's something we need from him and he's not doing his job. Our attitude can get skewered in some ways. And the way we see things and our perspective can get lost in an attitude that's not grateful. We all complain, right? We all gripe. And you know, you gripe and complain. But if you can deal with it at the point and the issue, you can deal with it, you can move on. But if our habit is griping and complaining, that's something else. This is where we can actually get into a spirit of griping, where we can create an atmosphere that's hindering us, it's hindering others, it's hindering our future, because we're making a habit of it. And it's affecting us, it's affecting those around us. Things, people do not grow, right? Do you grow? Do you grow in an atmosphere of griping and complaining? No. We don't do well. I mean, do you do well when your boss is always on your back? Always has something to complain about. It just feels like pressure. You might get the job done, but you're not prospering. You're just thinking about the next job you need to have and how to get out of there. An atmosphere of continual griping and complaining is not a healthy atmosphere. You know, the Israelites, think about it, the Israelites lost out on the promised land because of griping and complaining, right? Incessant. It was their habit. It's what they did, and they grew more miserable in the time of doing it. They didn't get better. They got worse. And they lost out on the promises because they couldn't see anything else except their problems. They feared lack. They constantly feared lack. They constantly feared that God wasn't going to take care of them. They didn't trust God. And what happened was in that atmosphere, they grew bitter. Bitter. That's what happens in the atmosphere of griping and complaining. Bitterness has the opportunity to grow and set its roots and grow deep. So honestly, getting into a spirit of griping and complaining is sin. It's sin that we actually need to repent of. And so sometimes if we get into that, we say, oh, Lord God, forgive me, because I don't want to go there. That's not where I want to go. I want to come right out of that, Lord. Forgive me for my griping and complaining. And we do it. And God will forgive us. He will cleanse us of that. But it is sin, and we have to recognize it. Because the Bible actually instructs us and says, give thanks. Give thanks. That's what it instructs us. In all circumstances. What? What the Bible says in all circumstances. You got to be kidding. It's got to mean some circumstances, the ones I like and not the ones I don't. But the Bible says in all circumstances. Not for the circumstance, but in the circumstance. As you're standing there in the midst of it, say, thank you, God, that you've got me even now. Even now. The Bible commands us to give thanks. So if we're not giving thanks, we're actually in the sin of omission. We need to ask for forgiveness and say, Lord, I now come to you to give thanks. Think about this week in your time of prayer. You know, one way we want to remove those gray clouds that are hanging over our head or over our life or over our household, some of the things that we need to do, I tell you, one thing is give thanks. If we want those gray clouds to move on, if we want the sun to shine over our household, give thanks. Give thanks that leads to praise. Give praise that leads to worship. And let the joy rise up in your hearts. So what are we thankful for today? We must take time to give ourselves over to giving thanks and to be intentional. Let it be the habit of your heart. Let it be the habit of our heart. So it's just natural and right and good to wake up in the morning and give thanks. Even when the arthritis is flaring up, even when the knees don't want to quite work so well, even when it's bitterly cold outside. Give thanks. Thanksgiving and praise will help us come into God's presence. It prepares our hearts to be with God and to hear from God. It starts to remove all the noise of the negativity that we're focused on and says, no, I'm not going there today, Lord. I can bring you all my negativity, but what I want to bring you right now is thanksgiving. Now, let me pause and say one thing, because I don't want anybody to mistake this. I want to make sure that we don't confuse honesty before God, honesty with others, but honesty before God, should not be confused with griping and complaining. Because we need to talk to God about our struggles, okay? We need to talk about God about our pain, our hurts, things that concern us, right? We don't want to stay there. We don't want to camp out there. But we need to be honest about things. And we need to ask God for help. He's the one who helps us in our time of need. But there's a significant difference between crying out to God and whining to God, especially when it's if we do it on a daily basis. God hears the cries of his people, but whining gets us no traction whatsoever. Complaining doesn't give us any traction. And at some point, we have to lay down our rights to just simply complain about life and come into the presence of the giver of life and receive life, right? But I have to lay down my rights to just complain. By choosing to give thanks, we counteract a lot of negativities in our life. We really do. It's like a beautiful immune system. When our immune system is working, it's grabbing hold of free radicals and carrying them out of our body. It's a beautiful thing. God created us this way. This is what he gave us. And it's a beautiful thing. Giving thanks helps us carry out some of these negativities out of our life. Pastor Chris Vallotton of Bethel Church Reading, some of you may be familiar with this church, but he shared recently a story from his life that went back to the time of COVID, okay? And it was how gratitude helped him through a difficult time. Again, it was during COVID when everything was shut down. He's a one pastor in a very big church, okay? Very big church in California. And things were not going well, right? Everything was shut down. We kind of remember those times when everybody was kind of wondering what is going on, what's happening. But this is also a time, this is difficult in a personal way. His daughter was getting a divorce at this time. A few dear people in the church had died from COVID, and it was just very sad. Very sad time for the church. And financially, it was really quite shaky that they, as a church, they decided they were not going to lay off any of their staff, part-time or otherwise. And they had over 800 people on staff. And they were going to still pay their salaries. And so in the midst of this, some of their staff weren't even working because what they did, they couldn't do because of the shutdown. And yet they were committed to them and their families to provide a paycheck. And so what he was feeling at this time was this immense pressure, this immense weight that he was carrying. How are we going to make it through? How are we going to do this? And what he said was he felt like in those months that what was building up in him was an anxiety attack. It was something that he had experienced many, many, many years earlier. In effect, it crippled him and really brought him to his knees, where he could hardly function. So he knew what an anxiety attack was like and what it felt like. And he felt like that was trying to come into his life and trying to take over. So what did he do? What did he do? He began to spend hours with God before going to work, because he knew he needed God to make it through. In this early morning time, God spoke to him. And what did God do? He says, God said this. He said, write down three things to be thankful for. Three things. Write down three things to be thankful for. In the state he was in, which was really coming into a place of depression, it took him an hour to find three things he was thankful for. It's not that he didn't have things to be thankful for. He had many things to be thankful for. But in the state he was in, it took him an hour to come up with three. Sometimes our disposition can be very geared in a very negative way. But God told him three things. The next morning, as he's spending hours with the Lord said, now read out the three things you wrote yesterday and write three more. The next day, the Lord said, now read out the six things that you're thankful for and write three more. This continued for 30 days. At the end of 30 days, he had 90 entries in his journal of things that he was thankful for. And he said that on day 15 in this exercise that the Lord was taking him through of thanksgiving, he said on day 15, it felt like this burden lifted. And he started to feel the sunshine. Do you know what it's like to not feel the sunshine even when the sun is shining? But he felt like at day 15, he could finally feel the sun shining. And he was able to continue to walk out those things. And in that whole time, he was remembering all the great things God had done for him, how God had brought him out of certain financial ruin when his business went bankrupt, how the Lord took care of his house payment when he was financially struggling and was like, how are we going to pay for our house? And the Lord took care of his house payment. All the blessings he was able to recount. All the good things that God had done. And in recounting that, it did something in his soul, in his spirit. And it brought him out of that depression. I don't know if we realize this, but worship, praise, thanksgiving. These are things that shield us from bad seeds taking root in our life. You know, the enemy's wanting just to plant bad seeds in your heart. He just wants you to go negative. He just wants you to get into despair. He just wants you to get bitter and resentful. That's what the enemy wants. He just wants to plant bad seeds in your life. But things like thanksgiving actually bring a shield from these bad seeds taking root. The enemy may plant them, but they're not going to take root. Not in my life. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace and your mercy and your kindness and your goodness. See, God wants to protect us from seeds of anger and rage, bitterness, resentment, envy, jealousy, on and on. These things that the enemy wants to dominate our lives. But God says, give thanks in all things. It's like a shield over your life. In the good seasons and in the hard seasons. It keeps us going in the right direction, and it keeps the weeds and thorns out of our lives from choking the good in our life. So thanksgiving in some ways is like tending the garden of our soul, cultivating growth, cultivating life and growth. Philippians 4, 6. I'm going to read the whole thing. Verse 6 and 7, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Church, give thanks. Give thanks. You can literally begin to change a situation in your life by giving thanks to God. Even when you have that temptation to feel anxious, you can go to God with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving can change the attitude of our hearts and lead us to places of joy. Thank you, Lord. It can change the atmosphere over our homes, over our lives, over our minds. We're to give thanks. And it will grow your relationship with God. It certainly did with one leper in Luke chapter 17. I want to look at this scripture for a minute because I think I love this parable that Jesus shares. Actually, this is a story of how Jesus met 10 lepers. But this is a story of Jesus meeting 10 lepers on the way, on the journey through Samaria. And it picks up, it says, as Jesus entered a village. So as he entered a village, 10 men with leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he told them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And while they were going, they were cleansed. But one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice gave glory to God. He fell face down at his feet, thanking him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Didn't any return to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he told him, get up and go on your way. Your faith has saved you. Now, most of you probably, when you read this, it says your faith has made you well. But if you look in the subscript of your Bible, you will see that it also can be translated as your faith has saved you. I actually chose the CSB because I think that's a really slightly more accurate translation. And I'm going to tell you why. In this story, we see there was only one that returned and gave thanks, right? Only one returned and gave thanks. And I want to say he got something that the other 9 did not, okay? And sometimes we read the story and they say, they all got healed. They all got healed, right? And they did. But he got more. They're all excited about what they received. They're all excited about their healing. They were getting their health back. They were getting their life back, their family back. They were getting their ability to live back. So it was equal among them. In verse 14, it says, they all, as they went to the priest to show themselves, they were cleansed. They were cleansed. The verb there is katharizo. And it just simply means to make clean, right? To make clean, to cleanse, to purify. And if you think about what skin disease is, and leprosy is, it's a skin disease of, and they literally had to go around saying, unclean, unclean. And so literally to say they were cleansed is they were purified. And then verse 15 follows up. It says, all 10 were healed. All 10 were healed. Just, can we reverse one page? It says, seeing that he was, It says, it said they were all cleansed. And then it says, seeing that he was healed. Now they were all healed. Then that refers to they were all healed. Now that word is, verb is in the Greek, ioamai, which means to heal, to be healed, and to be freed. See, to be healed in the sense of being freed from that disease. But then it says, only one returned to give thanks. And that is verse 15. It says, but one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice gave glory to God. He fell down at his feet, thanking him. This is thanks. This is giving thanks, praise, and glory and honor from your heart, from his heart. He was doing this out of an overflow of his heart. He was healed, and it said that he showed eucharisteo, which is to give thanks, to render gratitude. That's what that word means. It's also, if we know this word, we get the word Eucharist from this word, this Greek word, eucharisteo. And if we know anything about the Eucharist, is the Eucharist is communion. It's the partaking of communion. So in essence, when the Catholic Church early on applied this word, was that taking communion was the great giving of thanks, right? It's the giving thanks. And that's what it is when we take communion. It is. We give thanks. We render gratitude. But hear this final verse. As this leper who fell at the feet of Jesus, giving thanks from the depth of his heart for what Jesus did, then we hear the words of Jesus. It says, rise and go. Your faith has made you well, yes, but also your faith has saved you. Saved you. You'll find this in any translation you have. You'll see this in the footnotes. But I like how the CSB puts it into the main text. I believe it's a better choice. Why? Because the verb use here is sozo. It's not the same verb use that was used earlier. The one used earlier was ioamai, which spoke of all the 10 lepers being healed. They were all freed from their disease. So why would this verb be different at the end when Jesus speaks and says, you've been made well, or you've been saved? Because sozo has a larger connotation beyond healing. It's bigger than healing, okay? It's more than healing. It includes healing, because sozo is a word that we see in the Bible that's used for salvation. And our salvation is not just going to heaven, though it is. It is our redemption. The Lord is the price he paid for us. The larger connotation here is that this man, this one who returned and gave thanks, he was not just healed, but he was saved. He was, and in the context it gives us, it's sozo, and sozo, let me just give you this also definition, is means to save, to rescue, to deliver, to heal. Okay? And by extension, to be in right relationship with God. You know, you could be healed and still not in right relationship with God. God heals sinners all the time. God heals people who never return to give thanks, who never show gratitude, who never want a relationship with God. They just want the healing. But this man got something the other nine, at least to this point, did not get. 10 lepers were healed, but only one came to a place of true heart transformation and relationship with God. So it shows this, that the heart of gratitude is so much more than just receiving a gift. It's so much more than just the gift, right? It's not the gift, it's the giver. It's the giver. We say, thank you, Lord, for the gift, but Lord, really, you're the giver of the gift. And so really what I'm thankful for is I'm thankful for you. Every gift should lead us back to worship. Every gift from God, every gift of the Lord in our lives should lead us back to worship and praise. Because we always, it's the relationship that matters. And so, Lord, when I say thank you for this blessing, I'm saying thank you for being the God who blesses. Thank you, God, for my healing. But really, thank you for being the God who heals. Thank you, God, for my provision. But thank you, really, for being the God who provides. You see, it's always going back to Him. And when it does, the heart of gratitude is connecting me with Him. Church, this is so important. This is so crucial. This will grow your relationship with God. When you practice this giving thanks, I just say yes, get your journal out. What are three things that you're thankful for? Write them down. And do it the next day, and do it the next day, and just keep doing it until you know you have this heart of gratitude. What I'm saying, there's joy in your life because you have so many things to be thankful for, and it always points you back to Him. So what are you grateful for this morning? What are you giving thanks for? Can you turn aside your right to gripe and complain about what you don't like in life right now? Because there are things we don't like in life right now. But can you give up your right to focus on that and turn your attention to the One who has supplied you in so many ways, has blessed you in so many ways, and He's not done yet? He wants more for you, for us. So take time. Don't just eat a turkey leg this week. Give thanks. Give Him praise. Give Him honor. It will bless you. And a blessed you will bless others. And share with others when it's appropriate. Give thanks for others. And tell them, I give thanks for you. And why is that? Continue this pattern. It will bless you so immensely. That's my prayer. Thank you, God.